The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, or gender, and that means it's not safe for work and for consenting adults only. Thanks for listening.
I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be. Hey, my vagina.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from queer storyteller Amy Moline. How's your week going? If you were listening to the podcast last week, you may have noticed that I safe-worded out of this portion of the podcast where I talk about what's going on with me personally, because I've never been at this place. I've always kind of fought depression and anxiety a bit, but nothing like this. I'm an extrovert, and hitting the one-year mark, 1 year since live shows, 1 year since seeing faces, 1 year being locked in my house, 1 year of a global pandemic. Why did I say 1 year four times? Because that's what it feels like. It was a resounding, it's been a year, it's been a year, it's been a year. I couldn't get out of bed last week. I barely pulled it together to record the podcast and then went back to bed. And I've been sobbing all the time. This just felt so hopeless. I went on Vaccine Finder. I went on every place I could to register because it felt like the only hope I could find might be getting the vaccine. And no matter what I did, I didn't seem to make any progress with it. In fact, I signed up for Nextdoor, which I'd never done before, and somebody listed that they had extra vaccine at the Walgreens in my neighborhood, and I had a little panic attack about the idea of going inside and being around people and standing in a line and, you know, the whole indoors, will everybody be wearing their masks as they're supposed to be thing. And also, when you're this sad, it's just so hard to ask for anything. And asking for the vaccine is asking for help. So I went because I couldn't miss the opportunity. And I stood in line with a lot of people. And sometimes they got a little closer than I liked. And I wanted to bolt out the door, but I didn't. I stayed in line. I held my ground. And the closer I got to the pharmacy window where I would ask for the vaccine, the more my anxiety just kept rising. What was the phrasing? What was the magic word? What should I say to make them go, we do have extra vaccine and you should be one of the people who gets it? I just kept expecting a no. And it kept making me feel like giving up and walking out, but I didn't. When I finally got to the front of the line, the pharmacist looked at me like, are you picking up a prescription? And I said, I saw one of my neighbors listed that y'all had extra vaccine and I want to be vaccinated. She looked at me hard and she went and spoke to somebody else. And then she came back and she said, are you over 65? And I said, no. And she said, are you an essential worker? Do you work on the front lines? And I said, no. And she said, go home. It's not your turn. And I sat in the car and I sobbed for a long time because that was really hard asking for it. And then I went back to bed. I feel so ineffectual right now. And then this weekend, a friend of mine who lives in the same zip code sent me a text and said they are vaccinating people in our neighborhood, people who share our zip code. I just got vaccinated. Go get in line. Here's where you go. And I got up really early the next morning And I took my partner with me because it makes no sense for one of us to be vaccinated and not the other. And we went and showed up at 8:15 when it opened at 9 a.m. And there were already 150 people in line. And we thought we were in the right place. And then the security guard went, no, the line's actually way over there around the block. Keep going. And we went and got in line. I was wearing an N95 mask with a cloth dirty masks over it, and I was bundled up, but I wasn't prepared for the length of time I was going to be in that line. One thing I did do, even though I forgot my morning coffee and I forgot a bottle of water, I did remember to bring a chair because I knew there might be a little bit of a wait. I was wrong. It was way more than a little bit of a wait. But can you believe of the 150 people we walked by, nobody had brought a chair? We get to the end of the line. We pick up the chair and we move it every few feet as the line progresses after 9 a.m. And pretty soon there's another 100 people behind us. None of those brought a chair. And one guy walked by me and just said in this really loud voice as he looked at me, well, that's a great idea, isn't it? And I felt kind of smart. And as I passed that same security guard, when I got to the halfway point to be able to cross the street on the side of the street where the vaccination set up, they had this whole little village. When I got to that side, the security guard looked at me and went, you brought a chair? How smart are you? And my partner, Bent, went, I'm the one who carried it here. And she said, that's great. Who's the one who had the idea to bring the chair? And looked at me and she said, women are so smart. I don't know that I agree entirely with that, but it felt pretty good. And it was helpful because I was in line over 3 hours. Still having panic attacks, but it was a little easier with my partner by my side. And finally, after a long, long time and a little scare when I got to the front, when they asked me what I do for a living, and I was like, is this a trick? I thought I just had to have the zip code, and it turns out they wanted something else. But I told the truth, live event producer, and they went, great, keep going. And after another half an hour or so of waiting, I got the vaccine. And I will tell you that I don't feel great since getting it. I mean, physically. I feel great mentally. I really feel good mentally. But I feel like I'm getting the flu. My arm feels like somebody beat the living shit out of me. I've got a headache. But I got the first dose of the vaccine. And I'm so happy that it makes me feel like the chances of being able to see entire faces, not just half faces, entire faces, at some point in the future is a little bit closer. I hope that you can navigate this stuff. It's hard. Figuring out where to get your vaccine, how to stay safe until you do it, it's really, really confusing. Especially if you're dealing with the sadness that comes with this point of the pandemic. I know that some people say they feel a lot of hope. I do feel hope because I have the vaccine, but I know that it's probably going to be another year before I can do a live show. So I feel like I'm kind of at the halfway point. A lot of people say we're at the end, and I hope that's true for you. I'm sending my best wishes for you. I'm hoping that you are going to be able to get to see your loved ones and kiss their faces soon. And I hope one day after that, we'll be able to see each other's faces and be together in the same space. It's what's keeping me going right now. Welcome to today's episode of Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uberlube. Did you know that way back when, the people of China, Korea, and Japan would boil red seaweed to produce a thick, sticky liquid called carrageenan, and then they'd use that liquid as a sexual lubricant? That's not what you thought I was going to say, right? But it's true. In its crude form, this red seaweed liquid was used to help stimulate and moisturize the tissues. Well, what's better than seaweed liquid? I recommend Uberlube. Uberlube doesn't get sticky when you're using it. It doesn't leave a sticky residue. In fact, it leaves you better than it found you because it feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. There is no flavor and no scent, and I doubt you can say that about boiled red seaweed. It's body safe and it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. I love Uberlube, and everyone I've introduced to it has raved about it too. So what are you waiting for? Here's a little extra incentive. Right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Uberlube wants to offer you the long-lasting performance you want, the kind that quickly dissipates without a sticky residue. So don't use red seaweed. Use Uberlube. Remember, you get 10% off and free shipping when you use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. This has been Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uberlube. Just because you're all grown up doesn't mean you've outgrown bedtime stories. Whether you want a story to turn you on or to wind you down for better sleep, Dipsy helps you get in touch with yourself for some extra sweet dreams. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. And each Dipsy story features characters that feel real in immersive scenarios, so you feel like you're right there. To me, that's great storytelling, believable characters, and stories that transport you. Dipsy releases new stories every week, so there's always more to explore, no matter who you're into or what turns you on. Dipsy offers unlimited access to their library of 400-plus short, sexy stories. And they also have wellness sessions to help you learn more about yourself and those incredible bedtime stories and soundscapes. They'll help you relax before you drift off to sleep. Allow your mind to lead your body into new, different sensations and fantasies. Couldn't you use that right now? And for listeners of the Body Storytelling Podcast, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/DIXIE. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to DIPSEA stories.com/Dixie. Put more stories and more pleasure in your ears. Head over to dipsystories.com right now and tell them I sent you by using the promo code Dixie. One of the most popular stories we've ever had on the podcast was told in October 2018, and that storyteller is back this week. You may have loved the story Over My Dead Body. This time we have the second story they ever told, the second time they ever appeared on stage live at Body Storytelling in Seattle. Let me tell you about the storyteller. Amy Moline is a mild-mannered nonprofit worker by day and a lavender menace by night. They enjoy queering just about anything, getting themselves into complicated situations, and cross-stitch. This storyteller is Amy Moline.
So I've got my legs straddled over my good friend Layla's face. And I'm thinking to myself, what might the legal ramifications be for drowning your good friend in your orgasm during a dinner party? I have a talent, a skill, some might say, an affliction, at least when it comes to my bed sheets. When I come cinematically. Is a good way to say it. And you know, no matter how many times I've had partners tell me this is a talent that they appreciate in me, I still have this kind of like nervous feeling in my belly about it, especially when I think about the 45 minutes of cleanup that comes afterwards. Removing the sheet, the mattress protector, the hospital grade incontinence pad, the foam topper, the feather bed. I like comfort. And then scrubbing the mattress itself, of course. So this is a skill that I don't necessarily demonstrate without a little bit of prep work, a little bit of planning, a special occasion, if you will. Luckily, a special occasion had arisen. And as much as my friends and family love to tease me about this, they have this little nickname for me. Maybe some of you have been to Las Vegas. There's a well-known show with some lights and some fountains. My nickname is the Bellagio. So I had yet to demonstrate this particular skill set at any of our parties when my friend Layla's 40th birthday came up. They decided that year all they wanted was an intimate dinner party for five. They wanted full service, and they wanted us to be the servers. There were two rules. Number one, we got to be nude, though I had lobbied and was allowed to wear a little frilly apron situation and some high heels, because I am nothing if not aesthetically driven. Yes. So we get there, I show up, and I'm in my aftercare sweats and a full face of makeup, and I'm preparing, I'm getting myself centered, we talked our boundaries ahead of time, Layla is saucing and chopping and making the things, we're getting ready, and I look at their face, and I see Mary Stuart Masterson from Fried Green Tomatoes, with Mary Stuart Masterson from, that other movie. That's the one, Some Kind of Wonderful. But it's like they had a gayer, chubby adult baby. That's Layla. So I see them, and they're snickering. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what's going on? They said that ma'am, their partner, mistress, the queen of mean, who is kind of the instigator of our friend group, has been down in the dungeon all day long, and nobody has seen hide nor hair of her. So God only knows what that means. So we're getting ready. I've stripped down. Layla's ready to go. And then ma'am saunters up the stairs. Ma'am is this woman who looks like Elvira's white witch twin sister with this beautiful crown of hair on the top of her head and this ravishing burgundy dress. And she comes up and she's got this bag. And this bag gives me pause. And she's got the boy, her little gentleman, trailing after her. He's like this little imp. He's like 35 years old, but he looks 17 all the time. And he's got this big smile on his face, and you can tell he knows exactly what's going to happen, but we don't. So that's exciting as well. And they get up there, and the first thing ma'am does is give me one of these. And I'm like, okay. And I tiptoe over there in my little heels with my little apron. And I'm like, what do you need, ma'am? And she says, go to the freezer, open it up. Okay. Tiptoe back over. Open up the freezer. And in there's this big silver shaft with a big ball on it. And I'm like, please don't be for me. She says, don't worry, it's not your birthday. And summons over Layla. And goes, you, present. So Layla gives us one of these. And the trailer hitch, like the one your uncle hangs his truck nuts off of, is immediately, unceremoniously lubed up and shoved in their ass. Woo! Layla has titanic ass muscles and is able to hold this thing in while continuing the prep for our dinner. The only rule that ma'am had there was, don't drop it. So we finish the prep, and our friends start to arrive. First come the Boyds, the Mr. and Mrs. These are actually the friends that introduced us to our kink group, interestingly enough. We met them at church. Whatever. A really cool church. So the Mr. Boyd looks like this wonderful, cuddled daddy, like Kevin James character, but bald with this beautiful purple eyeshadow, and he's in leather, and he just like, you want to like fuck him and hug him at the same time. It's really great. And the Mrs. Boyd has this beautiful soft beard, and she's wearing vinyl and feathers, and they are just like so sexy when they kiss us hello, and they sit down and take their seat at the big dining room table, and then ma'am and the boy take a seat, and then of course my handsome Scandinavian husbutch with the bright blue eyes comes and gives me a wink and knows that they're so proud because I'm going to be on display tonight, and they get to watch it, and they get to go home with it. Good stuff.
You're my favorite.
And you're mine. So they're all sitting down. Layla and I start the service. I don't spill a single drop of wine despite several bites to my ass. I was rewarded with a little nibble of potato. It was delicious. We lick sauce off the lips of our friends. We bite nibbles of well-prepared beef, a couple of carrots. It's lovely. And then finally, the dinner is cleared. We bring the dishes into the sink. We get them situated. And it's time for dessert, Mam announces. I didn't see Layla baking a single thing. Guess who dessert was? 'Twas us. Yes. So, dessert comes. No, not yet. We weren't allowed. So we start. Oh, God. So, Mam summons over Layla, who has somehow, through titanic feats of ass musclery, managed to keep this fucking thing in their ass the entire time, pulls it out with a big pop, and says, lay the fuck down. Layla lays down, and then I am instructed and led by the husbutch to straddle their face and bend over with my ass presented towards the entire dining room. This is the time in which they begin to take turns flogging us, pulling some of the toys out of Mam's bag. There was some tickling. There was a little violet wand. There was definitely a lot of spanking. We're getting ready to go. Mam suits up. She's got her glove on. You get the nice snap. And then I feel the one finger and the two finger and then the three finger. Then a gasp as we move into Happy Duck. Aflac, you all know that one. Which then, of course, turns into a full-fledged fisting. And I'm going, please, please, can it be time? Can I come? And she's like, no. And so, of course, it all stops because I asked. So we got to take a break. We get some water. I'm dying here. I'm desperately trying not to step on Layla's head, which is right between my legs, and I'm wearing not the most comfortable heels. And I've got one hand on the kitchen counter, and I've got one hand on the oven, and I'm just taking my breath when they switch out, and here comes Mrs. Boyd, who's decided that she's going to enlist the help of the husbutch, who comes in and immediately goes straight for the forefinger, doesn't even bother with the happy duck. And she starts rubbing herself, and she's whispering to both of us. Layla's holding on to my ankles for dear life, and the missus just keeps going, it's going to be so fucking good when you get to come. I bet you can't fucking wait to come. Too bad you have to wait. And I am exercising every last bit of control that I have, which is not really very much. And finally, at some point in there, we've lost the boy. Mrs. Boyd is rubbing herself all over us. My face is at pussy level. I've got her underpants stuffed in my face. I forgot to mention that one because I was yelling and upsetting the neighbors. The husbutch has got their entire hand inside of me. It goes on for what feels like about 6 hours, but I'm sure it was probably about 3.5 minutes. And finally, some kind of top nonverbal communication happens, and the husbutch and Mam give each other the eye, and they say, okay, now. Yeah. And it's fucking lights. It's fountains. It's one singular sensation. And it is just a torrential downpour of me on Layla's face, on Mrs. Boyd's shoes, on Mr. Boyd's lap. I don't even know. It is physically impossible to fit this many people in one kitchen to fuck, but it's my story, and that's how I remember it. We have turned that kitchen into a fuck TARDIS. I am weak and I fall down with the sheer exhaustion of letting loose every last fluid in my body. And I am rolling on top of Layla, who is slimy and covered in me. And Mam is down on the floor fucking Layla with this purple cock, and they're screaming. And it's become this, like, sex swamp in this kitchen. And no can gain purchase. And finally, we're like, okay, we're going to get this. We're gonna maintain. We're going to come to. And like, Hus Butch kind of unwraps themselves. And ma'am kind of sucks past out of Layla. And I'm sliding on top of them. And we get up on our knees. And I look at Layla in the eye. And they're literally soaking wet with my cum. And I have that little feeling in my gut that's like, oh, this is messy. Oh, everybody just watched me do that. Okay. But instead of panic and run to change the sheets, I give them a big wet kiss on their mouth. And I say, happy 40th birthday. I'm really glad I didn't drown you. And we get up, we start to towel off, and I just hear from the back of the room, who the fuck is gonna clean this up?
That was I Get Off by Hailstorm. Our next Bawdy live stream is going to be on Saturday, March 13th, and it's going to star Margaret Cho. It's also going to have sex writer Tracy Clark Flory and music by our resident songwriter Jefferson Berkey. I also got some fan mail for the recent live stream, and I wanted to share it with you. Hey, Dixie, I saw the live stream for the first time on YouTube earlier this week. It was amazing. The stories were so moving, and the storytellers knocked it right out of the park. But the dancing intermission? That made me so freaking happy. I have watched it like 10 times and legit dance along with it, even though it's just a recording. Seeing so many smiling, happy people dancing just made me feel like I was at a grad school party dancing my cares away. The smiles, the costumes, the guy with the disco ball. There was a guy with a disco ball. All of it made me feel like I was hanging out with friends. COVID has made me feel so lonely, but you bring moments of feeling happy, love, and normal back. I'm headed over to Patreon to sign up so I can see more. I can't always join the live stream as I don't have privacy at home, but watching the recordings of all those happy people dancing is getting me through this pandemic. Thank you so much for all you do. If you didn't figure it out, the live stream recordings live on Patreon, but being there for a live stream means that you can be an exhibitionist, you can be part of the show, you can be a panelist, you can be on screen, you can dress up in drag, dress up like a furry, dress up in leather or kink, dress up sexy. We love to be able to see faces so that we can feel like we're at a show. Like we're all together in person. It's the best we can do for now. So whatever ticket you buy, we've got exhibitionist, voyeur, pandemic is the most affordable ticket, household, solo, all of them. Regardless of what ticket level, it's the best live stream out there, y'all. Seriously, why don't they have live stream awards? We'd totally win one. So remember, Saturday, March 13th, we only buy up to a certain level on our webinar because these things, when you buy at the webinar level, tend to be pretty pricey. So get your ticket as soon as possible because I sure as fuck want you there. Saturday, March 13th. See you then. You can help us get to our next goal on Patreon. If we can get just 15 more members of our Patreon, then we are going to have a Body Slam. Body Slam, isn't that a great name? Body Slam is a story competition that I created back in 2010, 2011. It's a way for people to not have to be curated, for people to have an opportunity to tell their own body story. And there's prizes. And there's judges. And it's fun. So if you enjoyed that storytelling open mic that we had when we hit our last Patreon goal, you're going to love this one. Go to patreon.com/body, join at whatever level you can, and soon we'll all be seeing each other on screen, telling our stories and winning goodies. Patreon is the thing that is making it possible for us to continue through a global pandemic, and every little bit helps. So join right now, and thanks in advance for your support. Well, that's our time for this week. But before we go, I have a favor to ask. Please share this episode with one friend who would love it. That means a lot. And write us a review wherever you review podcasts. The easiest place is on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And it's been a while since we had a review. When people read that you love this podcast, then they're more likely to listen. And that means we grow and that we stick around. Also, I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to Joe Moore, Donald Mooney, David Grossoff, Mosa Maxwell-Smith, and podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour. This has been episode 164 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'll see you next week.